Hey, a bunch of stuff happening in the Carolinas, and the Carolina Outdoor Gang is here to talk about it. We're glad that you're joining in. Bill Barty on this side of your radio dial, and on that side,
Wes Lawson way over here.
Way over there for now, but Wes, we like looking forward here on the Carolina Outdoors, and we're going to talk a bit about some questions that came in from listeners. But before we do, let's look backwards a bit in the past week or so, because you had a fantastically successful time emceeing and acting as the host of the Banff International Film Festival that came to town.
Yeah, the hardest name in show business, the Banff Center Mountain Film Festival World Tour. I think I practiced that 1,000 times to get that tongue twister right. But yeah, two shows on Sunday with, I think all said and done between the two, somewhere around 1,000 or 1,100 people showed up. So, you know, the Knight Theater is an incredible place to see a performance of any kind. And I think the crowd had a great time. I mean, there was a lot of applause for the total of 16 films we saw.
Wow. So it was 16 on the Banff show list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, each of the 1:30 show and the 7:30 or the 7 p.m. show, were it was two separate set lists, each with eight. So it's four shows, intermission, raffle prizes, four more shows, and then the next performance. But it was a bunch of fun. Saw a lot of familiar faces out there.
Oh, I bet so. Did anything as far as the films stand out as far as the flavor, the direction, or the intent of the filmmakers?
The Banff Center folks do a great job of balancing what you're going to see. And so on the world tour like this, you know, 800 films are submitted to Banff for the film festival in Canada every year. 800. And then 80 are chosen. And then of that 80, 40 get picked to go on the road. And so each time you go to one of these, at least one film is going to be very conservation-minded, which of the two that I saw, one was really hitting on Canadian First Peoples' rights, especially to rights to land and how they view nature. And then another one was more about women's rights in Afghanistan, and it was through the lens of a group of women who were organizing fun runs for women and girls in Afghanistan. And it just happened to coincide with the U.S. and the Western withdrawal from Kabul. But then those are longer, and those will be juxtaposed with a 6-minute fun adventure. When there was one all about a guy who just loves to ride wheelies on his bike. So you too can submit a film to the film festival if you'd like to ride wheelies, or maybe do indos instead. But you get that. You get mountain culture. You get high adventure. You know, there was heli skiing, mountain biking, endurance, like marathon, ultra running kind of stuff, which just looks painful to me. So it's a really neat mix of things. What we did not see was any fishing.
Ah, well.
So the F3T comes in just in time for that.
If you're just joining us, Wes has given us the breakdown of Banff. But if you missed that, don't worry, because fishing is on the menu for film lovers, whether it be independent filmmakers, travel, or fly fishing, or angling. At its finest, we have a fly fishing party over at the Visualite. You can hear Bernie Brown on Highlights of the Carolina Outdoors podcast, where he talks about the historical Visualite as a music venue, but it's also a place where movies, including the F3T, the Fly Fishing Film Tour, is going to be coming to Charlotte. And we're going to talk, hopefully, to a filmmaker later on in the program who has a film in that. And they celebrate the sport of fly fishing. Of course, we're also going to have a report from the Coastal Conservation Association field manager, Matthew Wallen. He will be at the event, along with other members of the Charlotte chapter, along with Rocky River Trout Unlimited, Project Healing Waters, and the Carolina Fly Fishing Club, along with Women on the Fly, are all on hand. Live music at 5 p.m., and then the films will start at 7. We have Brian Hester, the Hooked Fly Co. founder, who's going to be auctioning away some things that are going benefiting those groups, as well as the team from Jesse Brown's Outdoors, who is the presenting sponsor of the F3T Visualite Theater Edition. And, Wes, that'll be an exciting time. Continuing with looking back and looking forward, while you were at Banff, I was supposed to be on a hike called the Urban Hike. Mm-hmm. We talked to founder of the Urban Hike, Drew Thrasher. It was a rain out. We did not get to hike. That's the bad news. The good news is we're going to hike it on April 23rd. Guaranteed a beautiful day. Mark your calendars if you want a 7.7-mile hike, relatively flat, not a lot of uphill, downhill. But you should be exercised enough and not know that you're in the city of Charlotte. You can go to jessebrowns.com, the event page, for more information on that. But we're going to meet at Fair Meadows Swim Club April 23rd at 1 o'clock to start that hike. We hope that you will come. The view that we're going to have from the summit of the mountain is going to be Legion Brewing there in South Park. So that's your reward for the hike. And, Wes, that brings a few questions from some of our listeners. I wanted to put these out there. Can I fish hatchery-supported waters now? Carl from Cotswold asked us. We talked a little bit about this in previous episodes. The hatchery supported in the month of March is completely closed.
And one thing to think about that, too, is that doesn't always mean that the entire river or stream is closed. So you should familiarize yourself with the signage as well. But, yeah, don't fish that water, please.
Don't fish. The good news is April 1st, the hatchery-supported waters are opening up. The other good news is they're being stocked. So it's a great time to not fish, as the state is putting fish in. Wild trout waters are open, and so are the delayed harvest waters. Reminder, you cannot keep the fish in the delayed harvest waters, hence that term, delayed harvest. But they are open and able, and just as you said, Wes, the placards will lead the way. But, Carl, don't go fishing in the hatchery-supported water right now. Really quick, from Angie in South Charlotte, I'm hiking, and I come across a snake. What do I do?
Leave it alone. Take a picture if you want. Back away from it. Don't kill it. Don't move it. Don't provoke it. Usually on a trail, that thing is probably sunning, so it's probably trying to warm up. And I will say all of that as somebody who is not, I don't own snakes, I don't like snakes, but leave it alone. Don't mess with it. And if you do hike around it, give it plenty of space. That's one of the reasons why, though, when we go hiking, if there's a tree down, you don't just step over the limb. You step up onto it and then over or go around it.
That's a good way. Angie, I hope you're listening, so leave it alone. We'll get more of those because as the weather warms up, more and more snakes are going to be out in yards and on hikes as well. And you know what? We'll cover the rest. We have Amy from Gastonia with a question about Jesse Brown's upcoming events. We talked a little bit about them. We'll talk more about that in upcoming segments. In the meantime, Matthew Wallen's going to join us from the Coastal Conservation Association, North Carolina, right after this. China Outdoors is in session. Wes, this is a great time of year. Of course, we are in springtime here in the Carolinas, and it means the outdoors is awakening with all kinds of things happening and things for us to do outdoors.
And it's a great time for the, depending on what you're going after, either the early or late season saltwater, nearshore, coastal run. A lot of good fishing right now. Doesn't always get the kind of credit it's due, but fish activity is strong right now.
Very much so, and of course, those coastal fish are schooling up a little bit, and we might have a little history lesson as well in this segment of the Carolina Outdoors. We welcome everyone aboard. We're going to head out to New Bern, North Carolina. It's the first state capital of North Carolina, and find out about the river, find out about fishing, and finding out about conservation at our coast. And to do so, we're going to bring on the resource officer, field agent for Coastal Conservation Association North Carolina, Matthew Wallen, who hails from New Bern, North Carolina. Matthew, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, man, we're going to put you to work right off. Before we talk about conservation and CCA, let's find out about the fishing. We know that you get out on the river and head out on the coast. And will you let us know what the fish are doing out there if we're heading for the Carolina coast?
Absolutely, absolutely. There is, you know, as they say, when the dogwoods bloom, the fishing's going to turn up down here on in New Bern and across the coast. So I guess you could start off upriver. The shad fishing has been very good recently on the Upper Neuse and the Tar, as well as the Pamlico Rivers. The striped bass are obviously following those shad upriver, so you'll run into a stray striped bass every now and then when you're throwing shad darts and spoons. But, man, that shad fishery is super fun. It's a great way to get kids introduced, and you can even catch a few on the fly rod. So that's a fun fishery. The speckled trout bite's been doing very well. I would say we're in a transition period right now. They're starting to move out of the creeks, and they're deep wintering holes, so they're spreading out. They're getting out of the big schools and heading back towards the river. So I would say the trout bite is as good as it gets right now, and it's definitely worth coming down here and getting in on some of the action. Obviously at the coast, down towards Morehead City and the beach, the redfish are warming up as well. You know, the grass is going to start change. That Spartina grass is going to start changing colors here soon. And when that happens and some flood tides, it's a good time. So I would say, between all of that and Bonita and albacore showing back up around Cape Lookout, it's a good time of year for us down here in the eastern portion of the state.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about that as this season is upon us and the health of this season and the fishery that we're talking about. That brings about the topic of conservation. And Matthew, you're all over the state of North Carolina with the Coastal Conservation Association. Tell us what's happening. We know you're coming to Charlotte, both for the Fly Fishing Film Tour, the F3T, taking place Wednesday night at the Visualite Theater, March 22nd. But then again, March 23rd, the Coastal Conservation Association is going to be having a banquet and a dinner. What's happening in the state, and what's going to be happening here locally?
Absolutely, yeah. So I guess I can kind of give a little background about CCA as a whole. Well, you know, we are a grassroots conservation organization. We're dedicated to the conservation of our marine and estuarine resources and as well as anglers' access to those resources. So we advocate and promote for sustainable fisheries management across North Carolina, and we're also active in all of from the legislature to the management process with the Marine Fisheries Commission and the Department of Marine Fisheries. So we have our hands tied in trying to advocate for better fisheries management in North Carolina. But outside of that, you know, we do banquets across the state. Like you said, we've got our big banquet coming up March 23rd in Charlotte, and looking forward to it. It's a fun night. Raffles, live auction, silent auction, and all of this money is to go back to conservation across North Carolina. We have our hands in outside of showing up in the legislature and fisheries management. We have our hands in habitat projects. We've got a big habitat project coming up at the mouth of the Pamlico River this summer. We're going to be putting in 140 artificial reef structures. We also do youth fishing tournaments across the our major one is down in Swansboro to try to introduce youth to fishing in the outdoors. And then we also do a couple different weekends for military appreciation. So we have guides and captains that donate their time and boats and get some of our veterans and active duty military out on the water. So CCA is a great organization to be involved with, and we want to make sure that there's fish in the water for future generations to get out and access and catch fish and take one home for dinner. So that's a short and sweet of what we're up to.
Man, that sounds pretty good. So what are some of the major conservation issues that are bubbling up right now for our coastal and marine fisheries here in North Carolina?
Well, the hot topic, obviously, between, I don't know what's worse, flounder or speckled trout, but over the years, the state has not done an incredible job of managing our public trust resources. There's been due to over-harvest of multiple different species and inshore shrimp trawling and some gear usage across our sounds that have impacted the public's ability to go out and harvest some of our fisheries. So we've got speckled trout coming up. There's some scoping period. They're in the process of a fisheries management plan for speckled trout, and it's probably a year long process, but they're looking at some cuts to be made across all sectors, and CCA's in the middle of making sure that we continue to have access to that fishery. Across the board, over the past 30 years, it comes down to the way our state manages our fisheries between the Marine Fisheries Commission and the Department of Marine Fisheries, and we have got a lawsuit going on behind the scenes that is looking to reform the way we manage our fisheries here in North Carolina.
Is that involving gill nets and long lines? Is that family going out in a pleasure boat and catching too many fish? Where do you see the mismanagement really being the main hampering for the rest of us?
Well, essentially, our fish stocks have declined over the past 30 years. Some stocks, let's say spot, croaker, weak fish. We all know that back in the day, the piers used to be full of the regular angling public going out there and harvesting spot, croaker, and gray trout to put on the dinner table. And that fishery is gone now in this portion of the state to a certain extent. Spot, croaker, and weak fish are all down below 90% of their pre-Fisheries Reform Act stocks. So we've lost access to many fisheries here in North Carolina, the angling public has. And like I said, that's due to just failed management and from the state and over-harvesting from the industry. So we are... within this lawsuit, we're looking to reform the way that fisheries are managed in North Carolina to keep more fish in the water for future, for abundance. And I think that's the main goal, is to have an abundant fishery here at the coast and allow all user groups to have access. But first, we have to have enough fish in the water to go around for the 11 million citizens that live in this great state.
Matthew Wallen is our guest here on the Carolina Outdoors with Wes Lawson and Bill Barty. He's from CCA NC. And of course, Matthew, the CCA group nationally started on the Gulf Coast, Texas, headed east, Texas, Louisiana, Florida. And of course, they have changed a lot in the Gulf about how they're policing and regulations in order to keep those fisheries up. And that will just continue, I imagine, into the Carolinas, including North Carolina. With that being said, there's an opportunity for people to participate and meet you and meet other members of the Charlotte chapter of CCA, and that is going to be at the Fly Fishing Film Tour, the F3T, at the Visualite. That's on Wednesday, March 22nd, live music at 5, the film start at 7, and that is really the preview to the next night, the CCA banquet and dinner and fundraiser that's March 23rd. Hey, Matthew, that is going to be held at the Palmer Building starting at 6 o'clock. It'll go to about 10 o'clock. You've had a lot of success in the Palmer Building the past few years with the CCA banquet. That's an old firehouse there that kind of plays host to that. Who all will be there? Is it just coastal anglers? Because we don't have an ocean right here in Charlotte. Is it coastal anglers wannabe members or current members or all of the above?
Absolutely, all of the above. We welcome everybody to come out. Folks that want to get into fishing, folks that are been around fishing for a long time, but we want to spread our message and have as many folks that want to learn about conservation and our coastal resources here in North Carolina. And the doors are open. We'd love everybody that's interested in it to come out and enjoy the night. We'll have good food, SMS catering, so there'll be some good old Carolina barbecue available. Drinks as well as raffles, live auctions, and the Palmer Center is a gorgeous venue. Like you said, it's a neat old historic building. It's an old firehouse, so it's a fun venue, and it's set up. We'll have it set up for a fun night for anybody to come out and enjoy.
Matthew, thank you so much for jumping on here. Before you go, you need to tell us how we can get tickets. If we don't want to just buy them at the door, how do we get those tickets?
Absolutely, yeah. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook. If you just look up CCANC on either Instagram or Facebook, you will see an events tab, as well as you can go onto our website at ccanc.org. .org, and you can go to the events tab and look up for the Charlotte Banquet. And so you can purchase tickets online, as well as we will probably have tickets at the F3T event as well. So you can purchase your tickets before the night that way as well. But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, and our website.
Well, keep getting out there on the water. We like those good fishing reports that you gave us, and we also got the hot topics of concern with flounder and speckled trout. Matthew Wallen, CCANC, thank you for being on the Carolina Outdoors with us.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the time.
Listen, travel safe as you run up and down the state roads. Off we go with Wes Lawson and Bill Barty, but don't worry, we're coming back on the other side with more of the Carolina Outdoors. There's some cutting and scratching happening here on the Carolina Outdoors. Join in if you're laying flat on your back in bed on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT Radio as we blast up and down the Eastern Seaboard and then around the world with highlights of the Carolina Outdoors via podcast. We invite you to subscribe, rate, review. If you like us, it helps us out and helps more people learn about what we have here in the Carolinas. Your host this week, as every week, Bill Barty and Wes Lawson. And Wes, with all of that said, we've talked a lot about fishing. We do have spring coming up, or we're in spring, but it just continues. Our turkey hunters are scouting out there. That season in South Carolina is going to open up late March into 1st of April, and then soon thereafter comes the North Carolina wild turkey season.
You know, I admit that sometimes I get very confused trying to understand some of the different zones for hunting in South Carolina, but it is, as far as that state goes, a very diverse terrain for hunting in general, and you have some really great species there, and in the right locations, a really strong turkey season. So it'll be fun to hear from folks what they find during that spring gobbler season. In a recent drive, did see some jakes and some poults out running around, which is always kind of fun. So I think it'll be a whole bunch of fun here soon. You know, we had that false spring, that spring of deception a few weeks ago, then that cold snap, but that may do a lot of good for the movement of the turkey.
You know what? We talked, of course, mentioned highlights of the Carolina Outdoors podcast. You just type in that and up it will pop. We just talked to Rocky River Trout Unlimited chapter president, and Paul Duffy was on, and we were naming conservation groups that have had a lot of success. Ducks Unlimited has become a massive group. Of course, Trout Unlimited is one of the oldest as well. That sort of thing. But we just talked to Matthew Wallen from the CCANC. But that Wild Turkey Federation has had an incredible amount of success over the past 50 years with the enhancement of the turkey population, where a place like South Carolina has extended a bit the season because of the health of the population and a bit of the demand, and it is a pretty controlled season. Both North Carolina and South Carolina are spring-only seasons, and they happen now.
Well, the, you know, the great thing about it is if we improve the habitat for turkeys, I forget the exact estimation, the number of other species that benefit, including humans, is pretty wild at really no cost to us. I mean, there's a financial cost to improve the habitat, but it's not like we're losing terrain. We're not losing hardwoods or anything. They're such a good keystone species for us. And it's so amazing to see them actually in the wild, and how different they look, how they behave, especially in the springtime when those strutting toms get out there, get all their plumage out. It really is amazing. It's also really terrifying to watch one of them attack a turkey decoy, because they will mess one of those things right up. But it is fun. You know, I grew up in Virginia for the most part, and we had a fall season, which was usually pretty fun, because if deer hunting wasn't working out, you just pivoted.
You know, I kind of do that with fishing. If you're going to the coast, tarpon fishing, say, and you don't see any tarpon or not having any success, it's pretty easy to switch to redfish right away, or maybe whatever's biting right away.
Exactly. Well, it's, you know, Bo Thomas was in the stores talking about, you know, down in Isla Mirada, full couple days of tarpon fishing ends it throwing it at permit. Yeah, I think on our coast, half the time, going fishing means we're going to catch something, and we'll find out what.
Hey, speaking of fishing, we've talked a bit about it this episode of the Carolina Outdoors and previous episodes of the Carolina Outdoors. The Fly Fishing Film Tour is coming to Charlotte at the historic Visualite Theater. We're going to have live music at 5. The films will start at 7. Who is this for? It's for you. You're invited. Tickets are $18. We'll have them at the door. You can also go to jessebrowns.com to grab your tickets there. But we have a pretty wide variety of people that show up with a wide variety of interest in the sport of fly fishing, and some of them just have a curiosity of what this sport is all about. It's a fantastic way for you to learn a little bit. I think you described it the best, Wes, at the Visualite, because if you're serious business about film, you can get up a little bit closer to the movies. But if you want to visit with a friend and talk about what has happened in the past week, it's pretty easy to hang back at the bar and have a little bit of social time while you're also watching the films.
The audio, I mean, remember, this is a music venue. The audio is strong. So you can have a conversation and not upset anybody. In fact, that's probably half of the crowd is telling a fish story while a fish story is being projected to them. It's a lot of fun. And plus, you know, if you're new to this, that makes it very approachable, because you're not going to be stuck in theater-style seating like the folks were at the Banff Center Mountain Film Festival World Tour.
That's right, that you were the MC of. And you'll be on hand at the F3T, at the Visualite, Bill, Wes, Dave Bergman, lead guide and instructor. We will all be on hand, along with many, if not all, of the fly fishing clubs or conservation groups oriented around fishing will be on hand. So if you have any questions about that, they'll be there to answer those questions, including Matthew Wallen from CCANC and other Charlotte chapter members. They'll all be there. It's a great time with prizes and that sort of thing ongoing. Just one of the many things happening this spring, because, Wes, we talked about the turkeys, we've talked about fishing. Hiking is well underway. People are getting outdoors more, whether it be local hikes or even far away hikes.
Well, people are I've already seen some social media posts of, in a lot of cases, a parent dropping off a teenage or college age child at Springer Mountain.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I left that out.
Some of the early northbound Appalachian Trail hikers are already going, which hopefully means none of them were buried under snow a couple of days ago, because, you know, some parts of the trail that they theoretically already could have gotten to got several inches. I mean, it was cold. I mean, can you imagine 0 degrees on the AT right now? That's a hard pass for me, but that's already underway. So I'm sure in the next 4 or 5 weeks that number is going to just skyrocket.
You know what? I think we should get next week, we can get our resident long hiker Pac-Man, Matt Long, to join us to give us the breakdown of what's going on mentally for those people who are starting that undertaking and the challenge that they have to pack. I mean, these are weight-conscious people, weight as in what they are putting on their back.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be 80 degrees on their hike, or it can be like you said, they could get snow dumped on them and it be just sub-freezing. How do you prepare for that? Once you get to May, June, July, that's not
just hot.
Yeah, that's not as big a problem. Maybe some sweat, some bugs, that sort of thing. But now is hard. And, of course, there's a timetable for these people because if they are northbound on this hike, they are trying to finish the hike before Katahdin, Baxter State Park in Maine, before it closes down for the winter. Because once it closes, the hike just continues.
Yeah, it's I can't imagine. I try, but I can't.
6 month time limit. Wes, did I jump over us going over the fly fishing film tour?
Well, so we can go back to that real quick. So one of the good things about it this year is we are going to some places that we haven't been to either ever before or in a long time. So there is a film with a lot of action in Australia, which is great because that continent needs more attention for films like this because the aquamarine biodiversity, the aquatic biodiversity, is just incredible. I mean, they're fish that in a lot of cases are only there. You know, you're talking about land structures that are almost as old as the core of the earth practically. So that's going to be really cool to see that. We've got some Louisiana stuff. We've got parts of the Yucatan that haven't been covered before, where you have these tarpon rookeries way up in the mangrove swamps of the Yucatan Peninsula, where tarpon kind of grow, where they come into their own. We've got Louisiana, I think I already said that, and there's a freshwater one that actually looks pretty cool in Alabama. There's four species of bass.
Oh, wow.
That are only found there.
Now, is that the Holy Well? Is that one?
No, the Holy Well, same folks, same production folks doing that.
Because that director and film production company, Dorsal Productions, that's Ben Meadows. I call him he's been on the Carolina Outdoors talking about his films. And you pointed this out. He has two in this year's fly film tour, Steve's Red, which is about red fishing the Gulf of Mexico, focused in on Steve and his pursuit of this. Steve has caught every species of fish down there, including gar, but he has never caught a redfish. And redfish are prevalent down there in the Gulf Coast of Alabama.
You think he means he's never caught one of the big bull reds down there or just a red period?
You know what? I hadn't seen any of these films, so I'm anxious to learn that. Mainly because of Ben Meadows being I call him the resident Southern filmmaker. All these other filmmakers are from the West.
They're all Yankees. They're all from Colorado.
That's right. Seems like. Anyway, we had one from Virginia, but most of all, they're Colorado, Montana, or Australia, somewhere globally. So to have Ben Meadows, and he's got two, Steve's Red, and the Holy Well,
which is the tarpon one down in the Yucatan. So he has a third movie in a different fly fishing film festival event. That's the one. So I've just pitched a whole thing. It's not even on there. The bass one is in another unnamed fly fishing festival.
Well, we can name a few of them because we've mentioned the Holy Well and Steve's Red, but there's also Bleed Water, Cape York, and After You've Gone.
So Cape York and the Belt Buckle are both going to be Australia. So that should be really pretty fascinating. I mean, just incredible fish, incredible views. And then there's that Sabalo, which is about an Austrian going down to Cuba to fish the Queen's Garden or the Jardín del Reina, which is one of the most pristine tarpon fisheries on earth because Cuba, Castro didn't let anybody else fish. So there you go.
Well, and surprisingly, we talked about this when Belize opened up after the pandemic and places like that, how Jesse Brown's Outdoors, jessebrowns.com, where you can shop with Wes Lawson and myself, Bill Barty. Cuba, of all places, we have quite a few anglers coming through who aren't just fishing the Carolina coast or the Carolina mountains or the Carolina Piedmont and lakes, but they're going to Cuba, which has been closed for decades, opened up, closed, opened up with you have to meet certain parameters to go fish Cuba. Is fishing Cuba, do you think, like smoking a Cuban cigar? Is it just because it was a place you couldn't go, so that makes it more desirable?
Probably, but I think in this case, too, you know that you're fishing in Cuba. That Cuban cigar you have probably wasn't a Cuban cigar.
Tampa.
It was Tampa, or it was Dominican or something like that. Yeah, I think there is a certain mystique to it like that, which is, you know, that's fine. Just take cash because your credit card doesn't work down there.
Well, we've had a lot of those people coming through, but they have to go under either some kind of service project or a cultural project or education project, it seems like, to get a to get their passport stamped.
There's going to be a portion of their trip where somebody from the government talks to them about how wonderful Cuba is.
Ah.
No matter what.
Got it. So that's the education.
It may be on the bus ride to the boat. It may be when you get back. But there's going to be some propaganda.
Ah.
So just smile and nod and do that because you're going to go to one of the best fisheries in our hemisphere. So it's fine. It's worth it.
If you need a fly rod and a fly reel, we have them there at Jesse Brown's for that trip, along with what's going on, Wes, at Jesse Brown's. And jessebrowns.com is footwear. We've totally moved our entire footwear to the far left side of Jesse Brown's store. And we have a wonderful selection, but more importantly, we are there to help make sure that those hiking boots, those walking shoes, those sandals that can essentially be customized with one single strap to your foot can all be fitted there to make sure that they are appropriate for you, the hiker, the wearer, the person who's going to have them on their feet.
And to go through that process, you have to walk through all of our wonderful new arrivals. so you're going to get to see things from Patagonia, Task, Freefly, Haller Brothers, Sims, et cetera. But, you know, the other thing about that, too, Bill, is if you come in for a shoe or a boot fitting, we have a little bit of a process to how we do that. And it's a little bit different than what most people are accustomed to. So if you let that process unfold, you're going to have the right shoes or boots for your feet for your adventure, and it's going to work out beautifully.
Hey, let's take a break, come back, and talk about some of the other upcoming events at Jesse Brown's and in the Carolinas. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Barty. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors. Hey, send us your question, Jesse at jessebrown.com. We got a few we covered in the first segment. Wes Lawson, Bill Barty, Carolina Outdoors. Wes, we didn't cover them all because Amy from Gastonia sent one in. What are some of Jesse Brown's upcoming events? Of course, we already covered the Fly Fishing Film Tour, and we talked to Matthew Wallen about the CCA NC event, but we've got more events than that coming up. And you, the Carolina Outdoor listener, are invited. I was going through on the jessebrowns.com, the events page, and we have it all up there from April Fool's on April 1 to Easter, April 9. We're closed that day, but jessebrowns.com is wide open. We're going to be on hand at Tuck Fest, April 21st through the 23rd. That's at the Whitewater Center. So we'll be out there. Come by there and see us at the Jesse Brown's booth. The middle day of that, Saturday, April 22nd, is Earth Day. You pointed out that Jesse Brown's birthday, which is 53 years old this year, celebrated on May 1st, was just it and Earth Day's beginnings in 1970 were just a few days apart.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesse Brown's Outdoors and Earth Day are that closely related. Also, when you say Tuck Fest, dear listener, always make sure you get those letters in the right spot.
So true.
You'll figure it out.
This is a family-friendly show, and we practice that word many times beforehand. Then, I know we're looking into April, but it's important for these save the dates. The new date of the Urban Hike 2023, 7.7 miles of Charlotte walking, starting in the Fair Meadows Swim Club there in the South Park area, and finishing at Legion Brewing in the South Park area. The start is 1 o'clock. You are invited. You don't need to register. You don't need to pay. Jesse Browns is sponsoring it, and you can hear Drew Thrasher, one of the founders of the Urban Hike, on Highlights of the Carolina Outdoors, because Wes Lawson and I interviewed him just a few weeks ago.
What's the date on that one?
April 23rd.
The day after Earth Day.
The day after, without a doubt. And then that Thursday, the ever-popular Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's. That's April 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. Come hear a neighbor's adventure. We've got three brand-new stories up on the storytelling dice. Beyond Eagles, the first one. Roman Phillips is going to tell that. Wearing the Neat Hat, Helen Hosley is going to tell that one. And Rise from Collapse by Russ Van Buren. Those are going to be the April 27th Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's.
You know, that first one could also have been titled Where Eagles Dare.
Ooh, I do like that.
Not to be confused with the film.
Hey, oh, see? If you want to know what the stories are about, have a preview, you can stop by Jesse Brown's Outdoors, and we'll give you some hints. Otherwise, show up April 27th for that, and then the aforementioned Jesse Brown's birthday party, 53 years young, May 1st, 2023.
Does that mean the store now also gets the AARP catalog?
I think so. Awesome. I think that goes with it. In the meantime, one of the more popular products that we have at Jesse Brown's is the fly fishing wading trips. Many people ask, you know, or say, I've never held a fly rod. It's perfect for you. It's perfect for you to bring your spouse, maybe bring a friend, split the cost for two people. It's $425. It's all inclusive of your gear. You have your guide and instruction for the day. You meet them streamside along with a streamside lunch. It's very glamorous, romantic, adventurous, fun, but the foundations of the new sport of fly fishing are built on that day.
Well, like I said last week, Bill, we judge a successful week for Dave Bourbon by how little we see him because he should be on the water so much, and he's getting out there. Even with some of these streams being closed down, that doesn't cause a problem for Dave. He knows exactly where to take you to have a great day on the water and how to customize that trip for you, or because of weather or water flow rates or hatches and all that kind of fun stuff. So it's good to see folks getting into the sport and the lifestyle.
Learn a sport for a lifetime, the sport of fly fishing, a great opportunity to build that foundation. The hardest part of that is picking your day. Pick your day and the rest will fall into place.
And then once you really get into it, we can help sort out all the right gear and how to sort of acquire it in order. The other thing, Bill, you already mentioned it, has been day hikes and camping. You know, for families who have children involved in youth organizations like Scouting or Girl Scouts, there's a lot of that coming up. So make sure you have your bowl with lid and your cup with lid and your sleeping bag liners and all that stuff, headlamps, lantern, battery-powered lanterns. That way you don't burn the tent down. We do have some great tents actually on sale right now, too. If you're getting into camping, come on over. We can help walk you through that and, of course, do the proper pack fit if you are going to be carrying a pack on your back.
Hey, and if you want to buy a pack or maybe some new shoes from jessebrowns.com, use the code HIKE25, H-I-K-E-2-5. That'll garner you $25 on your new footwear purchase, all at jessebrowns.com. Special thanks to Matthew Wallen from CCANC for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. He'll be on hand at the Visualite and on Thursday at the banquet for Wes Lawson and TJ, the producer, Boggs. This is Bill Bartee saying, make the Carolina Outdoors a little bit better than you found it, and pick up your trash.